Good morning. So glad you're here today. You seem so far away from me. I don't know. Maybe the church building's got longer somehow. There was a man who needed a bird dog, and he'd taken up, you know, bird hunting and shooting ducks and whatnot, and he needed a dog and to retrieve the ducks, you know, when they fall in the water and you shoot them. Because you hunt for ducks near the water. That's how it goes. And he bought a dog, but this dog, get this, he could run on top of the water. It's crazy. So he had a friend who was very much a pessimist and always saw the negative side of things. And so I said, I'm going to show my friend my amazing bird dog that can run on water. Pretty amazing, right? Dog can run on water? Yeah. I think so. So he went out bird hunting with his friend and shot a duck, and the dog ran out on top of the water, just got his paws wet, and retrieved the duck and came back. He asked his friend, "Do you see anything different about this dog?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "He can't swim." Now, that has not a thing to do with the lesson, but I just like that. That's for you. I'd like for us to turn to the book of Mark, if you would. We're kind of going through Mark in class, and I want to mention this idea. Of course, I guess sometimes we in the church can be pessimistic about things anyway, and that's not really the way we should be. But in Mark 12, we're going to look at verse 28 and following. It's about a scribe that was not far from the kingdom. Let's read this together. And when the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he answered them all, he asked him, or asked Jesus, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered and said, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second, namely, is like it, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' There is none other commandment greater than these." Verse 34. Rather, verse 32. And the scribe said to him, "Well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all thy heart, with all thy understanding, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and all the sacrifices." This man got it. Verse 34, when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly or wisely, he said to him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask any more questions. Jesus, to this point, had been dealing with people that were very far from the kingdom. The Pharisees and their formalities, the scribes and their skepticism. That's a hard word, skepticism. There you go. The publicans and sinners and their vices they had to deal with. Even the multitudes had their great ignorance because they accused Jesus of doing miracles by the power of Beelzebub, not by God the Father. However, in this man, Jesus saw something different. He was close to the kingdom. He was close to the border of the kingdom. So, who was he? Who was this man that close to the kingdom? He was someone who was religious, for one. Because Jesus was asking a Bible question. He was someone who knew the right question to ask and came to Jesus wanting an answer of this very important religious question. For example, remember the Ethiopian treasurer? He traveled 1,000 miles to worship. He was someone who cared about coming to worship God, yet he still needed to change, right, when the law of Christ changed. Even Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee of Pharisees, very religious, but that being religious alone was not enough. He had to change. So being religious isn't all it's cracked up to be by itself. Number two was a man of knowledge, a knowledgeable man. Jesus had met many religious people who knew nearly nothing about God's word. This man, he was different. He had good insight. He had good insight about the old law. Like him, some today are very diligent students of the Bible, though outside of Christ. They may be close to the kingdom, but not in the kingdom. He was knowledgeable. He was also wise. He was wise, but in error. He needed, for example, the right information. Jesus said in John 8:32 that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So there's knowledge you have to have, but you have to have the right knowledge, not just any knowledge sets free, but knowledge of Jesus Christ and his doctrine. Sincerity and integrity are necessary, but by themselves are insufficient. Remember Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So it's not just enough to be sincere, but enough to want to actually serve God. Saul, we said a bunch of while ago, Saul, before he came Paul, was actually guilty of killing Christians. And he said at one point that his conscience was clear, but even though that was the case, he wasn't right with God. Now Cornelius was one, again, who was sincere but needed more words whereby he and his house might be saved, Acts 11, verse 11 through 14. So where was this man? He was near the kingdom. He was near the kingdom. But one's proximity to the kingdom is not the same as being in the kingdom. You can be close, but still be outside. You can be close, but still be outside the kingdom. One may have gone, let's say, 99 miles of their 100-mile journey, but still not be at their location. One can pay on a home mortgage for years, but if they miss that last payment, their home can be taken away from them because they're not totally there. Even the example of the Old Testament in Numbers 35, where you have the law dealing with the cities of refuge. A manslayer, a man that kills somebody, maybe accidentally. But if you kill somebody, even by accident, you had to get to the city of refuge to be protected and live out your life naturally. But we see in that context that you could be in sight of the city. You could see the wall around the city. Yet, you could still be slain unless you were inside the city. So you got to be there. You got to be in the place of safety, not just close to it. So this man, he was, the scribe was almost there. But he wasn't there. You can't just be close. You got to be inside the boundaries of the kingdom. This man, he was in danger. He was not far from them, but he was still lost because you have to be in the kingdom, in Christ, to be saved. The safety and blessing is in Christ, not outside of Christ. It's not being close but to the kingdom, but inside the kingdom that counts. In Colossians 1:13, the Bible says that he said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So it's being in the kingdom that matters. It's where all the blessings are. Being in Christ is where the blood is, redemption is. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, sometimes we have to realize that we can make changes. And sometimes changes are hard. But Christians can make great changes in a short period of time. You see, it doesn't take long for us to change the direction of our lives. Thank God. You realize that we have 10,000 fewer minutes than 1 week ago? In 1 week, you have 10,000 minutes passed. That's a lot of minutes. How many of those does it take to make a decision to change our lives and to cross that border from out the kingdom to in the kingdom? To go from outside to inside, how many minutes does that take? That decision takes no minutes at all. Of the 500,000 minutes in a year, great changes can take place in our lives. We can learn to love God, serve God. We can, in that time, choose to work on changing bad habits to good habits. We can make great changes in those 500,000 minutes that take place in 1 year. Because, friends, it's dangerous to wait to stay outside the kingdom. This man, he was in a place of decision. Like, remember the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. He came to Jesus running and said, "What must I do?" And Jesus told him. The sum of that is Jesus said, you have to leave your riches behind, and you have to leave your love for things behind and serve me. And this man went away sorrowfully. He had a decision to make. And he chose not Jesus, but chose things. In our lives, friends, we often have to choose between things and Jesus. Maybe not a big bank account, but maybe other things we put before God on a daily basis. And we all, I believe, if I'm wrong, you can correct me after the lesson. Please don't do it right now. But we all have things we put before God or are tempted to from time to time. This man was in the place of decision. For example, like Felix was in Acts 24, verse 25, when Paul came to him to preach. As a reason of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you." Had a decision, and he made the wrong one. Even Agrippa, just a short time later, in Acts 28, verse 26, or 26, 28, rather, also failed to leave the land of decision to make the right decision. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Did not travel over, did not cross the border into safety and salvation. Why did he stay there? Why didn't he enter into the kingdom? I don't know. It's not because it would have been worthwhile to be there. In the kingdom, you find forgiveness, you find peace. He would be made a priest after Jesus Christ. But maybe there was a stumbling block in his way. Maybe there was something that kept him from coming in. Maybe a love for things more than a love for God. What kept him from making that final step? What kept him from outside the camp? What kept him from serving? What difference from him from becoming a Christian or not? Listen, I would love to think, and probably so would you, that this man who's close to the kingdom is one of those maybe who obeyed the gospel in Acts 2. There were 3,000 that day, but we don't know. So many people have knowledge of God, are close to God, at least they're heading toward God, but never make the final decision to obey him, obey the gospel, and become one of his. It may be this morning that someone here is in that same situation. Maybe you are like the scribe who's not like everybody else. You're not a hypocrite, not a bad person, not someone who is so self-centered you don't care about anything else. A good-hearted person. Good heart, but still outside of the kingdom. What keeps you away? Is it ignorance? I hope not. We can tell you this morning how to become a Christian, how you can be baptized into Christ and Have your sins forgiven to be added to the body? Ephesians 1:3, again, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. What keeps you away? Maybe you're in the kingdom, but you have to come home because you have run it off. Now, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8 say, today if we hear his voice, harden not your hearts. There's a story. There's a story about what happened at the American Revolution. That before George Washington crossed the Delaware, in that famous sailing across the Delaware, a Tory farmer, a Tory was someone who was on American soil but supported the British, didn't want to see the English succeed, or didn't want to see the Americans succeed against in the American Revolution. So a Tory farmer gave a British general a note revealing the plan of Washington as they're going to invade in battle. But instead of reading this note, the British general placed it in his pocket. Never read it. He was too busy. He was going about his king's business, and so he didn't read the note he was given by this Tory farmer who was trying to warn him of the attack. Didn't read it. And what happened? Well, they were beaten. In fact, this man found himself in prison, where he finally decided to read the note. Thought it couldn't be so important as to take up his time and energy, but now he was in prison, at least what went for prison back then, as far as the soldiers captured. And he reached in his pocket and found the note that warned of Washington's plan. Too late. Too late. The fact is, there are those this very day who will decide not to cross that border into God's kingdom for various reasons. Family, job, personal preference, personal hobbies, whatever it be. And maybe they'll be in the devil's prison one day because they didn't take the time to cross over. And maybe then they'll think about it, but they'll think about it too late. Our plea for you this morning, friends, is to make sure that you use your minutes wisely. Those 500,000 minutes every year. Make changes that can help you be closer to God. That may be coming into the kingdom as someone who obeys the gospel this very day. Or someone who wants to draw near to Christ because sometimes, you know, we all struggle. But if we will put God first, minute by minute, we can one day have a home in heaven by the blood and mercy of Jesus Christ. Are you one who follows Christ? Hope you are today. If you have a need to respond to the invitation to be baptized into Christ, or to ask for the prayers of the church, or to be restored to faithful, active service, would you please come as we stand and sing this hymn?